Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. I'm Michael Colligan. That's Greg Garrick. We've been told we have to say our names more because we have new people coming to the show all the time. And they listen to three or four episodes and they never hear my name. On today's show, we have Pete Grett. Pete is the driving force behind the BlackRock Group, a trailblazer in supply chain consulting with a keen eye for innovation. Pete is now steering into the future with BlackRock Software Company, where he's embracing the transformative power of artificial intelligence. Under his hashtag TechSherpa brand, he's dedicated to guiding businesses through the evolving landscape of technology, ensuring they stay ahead in today's digital ascent. Join Pete as he unpacks the complexities of supply chains here on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast and explores the frontiers of artificial intelligence. Go to the BlackRock Group. That's theblackrock.group. Before we get into that, Greg, we got to go to etissl.com, a hot new sponsor of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Everybody needs to know about this company, buddy.
Oh, yeah. They're huge, number one. You know, they have a whole ton of products out there. But one that's unique, and, you know, a lot of people do a lot of the Me Too stuff. ETI has their own thing called the Night Lighter, and it's a nice, warm 2,000 Kelvin nightlight glow that they put around their fixtures. And it's not any just one fixture. It's many. It's a 3-inch can, a 4-inch, a 6-inch, an 8-inch square cans. They have flush mount, different sizes available. They even have a nice 1x4 that I just found this out. That is like a flat panel, but it has that nice little edging around it. Perfect for like a multi-housing in their kitchen. They all have those cloud lights. Upgrade them, give them a little nightlight on a 2000K. I might even get one. What do you think?
I think I need one for my front hallway of my house, buddy, with a little nightlight on, nice, warm, low Kelvin temperature, dark sky friendly in the house, not going to affect the circadian rhythm. Go to etissl.com. The scope of what they have is enormous. Check them out, especially, you know, a recently joined Nailed member as well. So while you're checking those people out, open another tab. That's right. And if you have light bulbs in a warehouse, you got light bulbs in a warehouse, you sell them to the people out on the street. You sell them on the internet, you sell them online, you sell them over the phone, on the order desk, all that sort of stuff. Why are you not a member of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors? Your crucial shield against all the weapons against the lighting industry that we're trying to defeat. We got to get these suckers out of the industry. All these non-player characters, we call them. That's right. You can help us out by joining Nailed. That's right. Join to serve. We got no ROI for you. Get out of here. Your dues are $400 a year, $900 a year, something like that. You know, get an ROI. You get to serve the industry. Go to naald.org. Welcome to the show, Pete Grett.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem.
So, Pete, this is a question that, you know, don't take offense to it, but why do we have you on here? What are you going to tell us about your lighting?
Supply chain. Well, two things, right? One, everybody has a supply chain. And we saw with COVID and everything that happened after that, that it can be disrupted really easily, either because you got a pandemic or you got a boat stuck in the Suez or you got a bridge that collapsed in Baltimore. Everybody's got a supply chain. And if they're not monitoring, they're not paying attention to it with some intentionality, they're going to find it out one day when something like, unfortunately, the Baltimore bridge collapse happens. And now they're going to be in a world of hurt in a lot of different ways. So that's number one. Number two is everybody wants to have AI these days. And that includes individuals, companies, divisions, just everybody wants AI. And we are leaning heavily into integrating that in all sorts of software platforms.
So I love a good supply chain collapse. I think that's great. I mean, there's nothing better than someone comes and says, I can't find this light bulb. Come into my web, said the spider to the fly.
You know, there's just so many pieces with that.
Yeah, I mean, when the supply chain collapsed in lighting, I mean, that was great for a lot of lighting distributors who knew where to get all sorts of different things. So when there's a perceived shortage or a shortage for some people in an industry, it's actually to the benefit of others, is it not, Pete?
Absolutely, right. We really saw the pandemic as an opportunity to differentiate yourself. You know, when times of crisis and there's chaos, that's the time that the well-run machine, the well-run company, they can shine and they can really make a difference in the market and scoop up a lot of market share too. We saw this at the pandemic, right? Empty shelves, not good. People who had product, people who didn't just offshore everything. It's not just the supply chain. It's, you know, it's a manufacturing strategy as well, right? What are you going to offshore? What are you going to nearshore? What are you going to make at home? How much are you going to keep? What kind of safety stock levels do you have? What kind of transportation are you going to take? We see this in the U.S. all the time with Long Beach. Everything's coming through the port of Long Beach because that's where the mega container ships can go. And then when Long Beach has a strike, which it does about every 12 minutes, then, you know, your container ship's not getting offloaded. Your stuff's not going anywhere. And if you've been carrying a lean amount of inventory, then, well, you're going to have empty shelves.
Yeah, the United States is extremely vulnerable, and I don't think they know this. Americans are not aware about how their products are made. And the giant consumption machine, which is the United States, would have a huge problem, say, if somebody blew up that port. Forget about strikes. If somebody blew up that port in California, America would be in huge trouble. Let's go into AI, or what I often call artificial stupidity, because it can go both ways. Tell me what you can do with AI.
You can do just about everything with AI. But the caveat is if you are not utilizing, like, all the features of Microsoft Excel, then the time to jump into AI is maybe a little bit a ways for you, right? You should review some of your own things, because one of the things that we tell people as a technology company all the time is still the fundamental way to run a business is to have a really well-defined process with good data and well-trained employees that you hold accountable and that you incentivize. If you do that, you're going to be successful in 1800 or in 2800. It won't matter. But you really need to do that before you go to like a technology accelerator like AI. Because if you've taken that step and now you're going to do AI, well, then you're just going to unlock a whole lot of goodness. And there's just so much you can do. I have kind of a different viewpoint on this than some of my peers. A lot of other people are spending like $100 million and trying to do the digital transformation with AI thing again and like replace all the humans with robots. And A, I don't think that's ever going to happen. B, I don't think it's a good idea. And C, it's going to take forever. And $100 million is just the down payment. I think the real opportunity is to make individual people's lives better, right? So if you can make someone's job 50% more efficient and you could do that in weeks, I think that's a win.
So what is it you guys do at BlackRock exactly?
So we do two things primarily, software implementations in the supply chain space. So we help folks run their supply chains with systems. And then the other part of that is now we've pivoted and have a software company where we're building AI products and doing AI work.
Like, what does that do? Like rename all the pictures on your website or something? Like I was just in a meeting where they were talking about naming the pictures on a website, and I was like, oh, okay. And I'm just thinking, like, could you like wave your magic wand and change all the pictures to have the right name?
You could. For me, since I'm focusing on the individual, it's what can I do to automate tasks, remove things that are tedious and take a lot of time. For me, as a owner of a small business, that's like marketing, outreach, lead generation, communications. So all of those kinds of things that I used to spend way, way more time on now, I spend much, much less time on and do about 400% more in output. So that's what that does for me. And I think it's pretty similar for other people.
Give me a specific example of that.
So like LinkedIn's a great example. So I used AI on LinkedIn to find relevant targets and relevant conversations and then to interject myself into those conversations. So this is what grows a lot of views for me. So by utilizing that kind of technology, in the last 2 months now I'm getting 1,000 views a day and like 50 more engagements every single day. And that lets me be a part of that conversation so that when we are trying to sell AI products, I'm not unfamiliar to everybody in that space. I have a lot more brand awareness. I have a lot more depth of connection with people in that space.
That's how he got him to get a grip on lighting podcast.
That might be it, yeah.
That's it, right there, man.
Yeah. Has your work resulted in sales yet, or is this just the beginning stage, the AI portion?
Yeah, so it's some of both. So we have our first customer in AI this month. We started on their project, and then we launched another set of service offerings in the AI space, and we're looking for, you know, growth from that. But it's really been about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and we're really trying to grow that, utilize the tools, and then turn around and sell them to other people.
What is your AI name?
Because
does your AI have a name?
Tech Sherpa.
Tech Sherpa, so, that's what you call him.
Tech Sherpa.
Is it a man
Tech
or a
Sherpa.
Woman?
It's, well,
non-binary?
It's androgynous, I suppose. I suppose it's androgynous. I'll use a less controversial word.
So does it tell you what to do, or do you tell it what to do?
So I purposely took classes so that I would learn how to interact with it better. Because again, you know, like Excel is a great example. Excel will do a million other things that people basically use it as a calculator. And so I want to make sure and utilize the tool. So I took some free online classes. And one of my favorite things to do is have it interrogate me. So frequently it knows what to do, but it needs a lot more information. And the reason people get funny answers is because it doesn't know the information that you have, and it tries to kind of fill in the gaps. So you can actually tell it, ask me questions one at a time so I can provide information. And when you have enough information, then do the task that I asked you to do. So it's some of both. It really is a conversation. It's collaborative.
Yeah, how many? You know how many times I've told ChatGPT to F off? It's so rude. I mean, like, it's just like sometimes it's like, I'm like, get out of here. But
well,
so, let me ask you this. So you own a software company, you took some online courses, and now you're selling AI to people. I mean, I don't want to be I don't want to sound like a jerk here, but that sounds like a little bit quick.
It's that easy. It really is. But here's what we've learned with software all over the years is that even the easiest things people generally won't do. They want someone to do it for them. So it doesn't take a whole lot to understand how all these pieces work and put them together and then show someone else how to do it or to do it for them. And so most people just want things done for them.
And I want to replace Greg. He costs too much. Can you replace Greg for me?
Hey, do it. I'm good.
Yeah, so I actually think that this is not going to replace people. So at least in the U.S., we have a huge labor shortage. We have a lot of growth that we could do if we had enough labor to actually accomplish the task. And this is going to change just how work's done.
So if a lighting company, I don't know if a manufacturer might make more sense or a distributor, you can pick one. Where to go to you, what are you going to do for them? What does your process look like, and what does the end result look like?
So what we're really looking for is what are those tasks that if you had an intern, if you had an admin, you'd be able to get them. How can we reduce that kind of activity in your day? And we go and work with people, and it does not take very much time to be able to. So you can train a custom GPT to do specific things for a specific person. And it takes a matter of, you know, maybe an hour and probably 30 minutes of showing that person how to utilize the tool. And that's pretty much it. You know, we sit down and have a conversation, generate a new custom GPT, show the person how to use it, and they go to town. It really takes off very quickly.
So you were saying earlier that you like to deal with the individual. Like, so a company is going to hire you. There's multiple tasks that happen at a company within each department.
Absolutely.
What do? You go one by one and say, this one, we're going to do this?
Generally, you're trying to pick out groups of people that have similar roles, right? So if it's a big enough company where you have, you know, 20 staff accountants, or you've got 15 planners or 25 buyers, they're going to have really similar kinds of tasks that they utilize. And that's where you're going to start. And you're going to go where there's the biggest bang for the buck first. And what I mean by focusing on the individual is there's a lot of companies that are like trying to take their huge picture of how they run a company and transform it from the top down and do these really big things like, oh, we're going to have the AI do all of the buying in the whole company. It's going to do all of the sourcing in the whole company. And that's a really big problem and a really hard thing to solve. It takes a lot of time. And you're going to burn a lot of cash before you get to any output. But if you focus on the individual and said, you know, Fred in accounting spends half of his day reviewing expense reports. Can we get Fred half of his day back by creating a ChatGPT that can take care of that for him? That you can have like tomorrow. And you have immediate results. You have immediate ROI, and it's a really low cost.
So when you do something like that, people pay you for the service to get it set up, and then where's your ongoing fee?
There is no ongoing fee. For that particular task, we give it to them just as a one-time service fee, and that's it. We're building a product that we want to try and integrate kind of all of the goodness together of that. That would be an ongoing software as a service, but that's not built yet. So right now, our AI services are just, we'll do a service for you, and then your financial commitment's over.
And how many of these AI projects have you done that have incorporated AI?
We're just starting this month with it. So we have the one that we've launched.
Got it.
So the what's interesting I find about this is that with technology, people tend to really overestimate the short-term impact of something. And really underestimate the long-term impact of something. So overestimate the short-term and not, I don't know if underestimate the long-term, or maybe a better term is not really foresee how the technology will truly be deployed. Like, so when Facebook came out, people thought, this is great. This is great. I get to hang out with all my friends online and they can see all my pictures. And this is so good. They didn't know that Zuckerberg was going to steal all their personal information from them. They didn't know that Zuckerberg was going to hook up with the CIA with his friend Jack Dorsey over at Twitter and all these folks and, you know, spy on Americans. We didn't know how that was going to turn out. And it turned out that, you know, that's what happened. And now everyone's, you know, Facebook knows more about you than you do. Sure. Where do you foresee this going in the long term? You say you don't see a subtraction of people. I disagree with that spectacularly. I think AI is going to... I already fired the editor of the magazine like 6 months ago that we had. He's gone because we don't need him anymore. You know, I used to spend weeks writing articles and going back and forth with a professional editor. Now I spend 2 days doing it with ChatGPT. It takes a couple of days, and I just get the, you know, get the contact, get the flow of the article right, get the spelling mistakes removed, change it to American spelling from Canadian spelling, and all this kind of stuff. So I see it. If this works out the way I think it's going to work out, everybody's just going to plug themselves into the matrix. See you later.
Well, part of that is always the adoption piece, right? So there's always this grand vision that this is a nice linear adoption path and that, you know, there's no unforeseen pieces that happen and that we can know the future now. And that's never what happens with technology. That's never what happens with life. So just like we thought Facebook was going to take over the world, you see a declining interest in people and their use of Facebook.
Yeah, but they have children.
You know, for a long
time. Like TikTok is like Facebook's kid.
It is, but it's different, right? And if you would have tried to guess 15 years ago, you wouldn't have guessed that. You wouldn't have known that.
That's what I'm saying.
So I think from an AI perspective, it looks like it's going to take over the world, but there's probably going to be a lot of twists and turns along the way. And just historically speaking, every technological advancement has not resulted in less jobs. It's resulted in more and different jobs. So 2 years ago, there wasn't a job called prompt engineer. Now there's all sorts of prompt engineers. You know, running data centers and training large language models, none of those jobs existed. Now that's a huge portion of a lot of companies. And it's not just technology people that are getting jobs. You know, there are people who are having to do the reinforced learning as human beings where they're teaching the large language models the right ways to think about things and improving their accuracy and reliability. And a lot of that too, you know, ironically, you mentioned Facebook, Meta has Llama where you can just download it locally. So my biggest concern is more of a privacy concern too, right? Because if you want to have it like, I don't know, look over your accounting books and help you do analysis? Do you really want to send that somewhere? But the other part of that is people use Office 365. They use Google Drive. Those things are already sitting in other people's hands. There's very few companies that today run a fully on-premises server where nothing is in the cloud and nothing goes anywhere and nothing can be touched by anyone else.
Greg so just got rid of his last week or something, didn't you?
It's been a few weeks, but yeah, took a while.
Yeah.
I still have a server here, but I always loved Google Docs from day one. I loved it. I thought it was a great of an innovation, although it is certainly not private. That is 100% for sure.
Absolutely, right? So if a person has Google Docs, but they're concerned about putting their data out for a large language model like ChatGPT or Gemini or something, I would challenge to say, well, what's the difference?
It's just who's in charge of the data changes. That's all.
Yeah. And so now
instead
some
of
really
Zuckerberg, you got that joker at ChatGPT, whatever his name is. I can't remember his name off the top.
Yeah. So, you know, some of that is if you're really concerned about data, you download Llama and you keep it local. And, you know, the thing that always strikes me as just crazy is when you see like the Pentagon's gotten hacked into. It's like, why is that computer even hooked up to the internet? If you got something that's really important, if you got something that's super secret, don't give remote access to it. Keep it on a server and keep it local somewhere.
I can answer that question.
You can do that with large language models.
I can answer that question for you. Because the United States and Canada are largely run by idiots. I'm not kidding you.
I think people in general are below average in intelligence.
No, no. Particularly the U.S. government and the Canadian government has a lot of really low IQ people working in it. You can see. Just watch the news for a bit. Pete, this has been an interesting one. It's a little bit off the topic for lighting. I don't know how it affects light bulbs, Greg Eric, specifically or light fixtures, except maybe it'll find its way into the programming of those lighting control systems or something like that down the road, maybe. I don't know. What do you think, Greg?
That's what I'm trying to get my head around. Yeah, I mean, he's talking supply chain and efficient, making your job more efficient. So from a lighting standpoint, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that it would do that on the control side. But what do you think, Pete? What can we look at?
Well, you still got a business to run, you know, whether it's a lighting business or any other kind of business. It's still a business to run. And, you know, people who are efficient and effective tend to rise to the top. And it's just another tool. That's all it is. And people are going to, if you don't use the tools now that you have correctly, probably not going to use this one correctly either. It'll be amusing to the rest of us because it'll spew out nonsense. You'll probably regurgitate it. But, you know.
That's the artificial stupidity I started talking about from the beginning.
Yeah.
My belief, Pete, is that, this guy's getting phone calls. The phone's ringing. He's already on and got a grip on lighting and his phone's ringing like crazy. Eh? Jeez. I think that there is to every action, there's an equal opposite reaction, and you can't have yin without yang. I think that artificial intelligence will create the exact same amount of stupidity as it does intelligence. And I don't think
here's what it is. As one of the people I follow in the space said, don't think of it as artificial. Think of it as augmented. So whatever is you, you're going to get more and faster of you. So if you're a bright person who pays attention to detail and utilize a good tool, that's an accelerator. You're going to get more goodness. If you're doing a bunch of silly stuff and you don't know how to use the tools that you have, you're not following best practice, well, then it's just going to help you go the wrong direction faster. Because it's just going to augment you. It's just more you. It's really kind of like a digital twin. You know?
That's what scares me so much, Pete.
Well, it can be scary. It really can be. But, you know, the thing about it is you see this in Canada. We just saw this in the last few months with Air Canada, right? Is that Air Canada turned over their customer service to a chatbot. Chatbot promised a refund to a customer that was against Air Canada's policy. It went to the courts, and the court was like, it's your chatbot, so whatever it promised, you're on the hook for it.
Artificial stupidity. And there's lots of other examples. If you wanted to go down a dark rabbit hole in the news, you can just go check it out. Just go watch the news and you can see all sorts of stuff about AI killing people all over the world. But how can it help you? I don't know, Greg. You know, I look at this. I think ChatGPT is an interesting editor people that are writing. I've tried it for different types of lighting codes and stuff like that. It's not very good at that, at least in my experience of that. And maybe I'll hook up with Pete after and see if maybe he can help me with that. But, you know, folks, we're coming to the end of the show here. I want to invite you to go to etissl.com. Forget about AI for a minute. Let's talk about lighting, Greg Eric. No AI. The computer's not going to tell you what to do here. You got to do it. You got to go to etissl.com.
That's our Nightlighter product. We talked about that nice 2000 Kelvin glow cans, surface mount fixture, you know, square cans even, 1x4 fixture. Like I'm saying, I'm still thinking that kitchen thing through. I got to do that. I got to call somebody after that.
The scope of what they have down there at etissl.com, man, you got to check it out. This is a company. They're legit. They're real. They're there, and they got a lot of stuff. If you nail distributors out there, you got light bulbs in a warehouse, you need some etissl in that warehouse, sucker. And, of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. You got light bulbs in a warehouse. I've been saying it over and over. I'm Michael Colligan. That's Greg Harris. You got light bulbs. Greg Eric, you got light bulbs in a warehouse. Do we have it all covered? You can join Nailed. If you don't have light bulbs in a warehouse, you've got to be an associate member. Not an actual member, associate member, but you can still join. But there's no ROI. You got to serve the industry down here. We're taking over. We're setting it straight. We're making everything better. Go to naald.org, and we thank Pete Grett of the BlackRock.group. His LinkedIn will be on the his automated AI LinkedIn, which got him on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast somehow. Will be on the getagriponlighting.com website. Check it out. Of course, like, subscribe. But most importantly, thank you for listening and watching this episode. Bye for now.